Is thy eye evil because I am good? Dear good people, we each have our own row to hoe, our battle to fight, and our own work to do. To do this, God will reward us, as is our own due, according to our own work. So too, because we answer the call to work at different times in our lives. But remember, he is always calling us. Though we may wait to respond until the 11th hour, we have the opportunity to gain the reward as those who have labored all their lives. So this shouldn't be an incentive for us to put off our response to our Lord, remembering the gospel of the enemy sowing the cockle among the wheat. That if we don't guard over our souls, bad habits can be seeded and founded that are very difficult to uproot. So we need to move when we can. We need to make an effort. And so let us grab a hold of that hope, that understanding. Today our Lord is beckoning us. Come into my vineyard. Come and work. Work for your salvation. Every day we have to work. Every day we have to make an effort. The day is almost over. As I have heard the hours of this parable explained as those of the time of history, namely the sixth from Abraham to Moses, and the ninth from Moses to Jesus, and the 11th hour from Jesus to the end of the world. For our own lives, we don't know how long we have. We could die in car accidents on the way home. We could have heart attacks. Our time is limited, that we know. We're all going to die. We need to use the time that God has allotted to us. So it behooves us to go now, work for your salvation. But what are we to work for? Or for whom are we to work? For we are laborers, and God planted his law in our hearts, in all men's hearts, and so by that we will all be judged. But also we will be judged by how we responded to the understanding of that law. How did we cooperate with God's grace? And so as we have more of an understanding, we have an obligation to form our conscience. Especially now we have coming upon us the season of Lent, season of penance, season of spiritual growth. St. Paul says in his epistle, I chastise my body and bring it into subjection. Subjection to what? Subjection to the Spirit. We know that that's the battle that rages, the Spirit against the flesh. And so, to be more efficacious in bringing it into subjection, we need to know how it is out of order. Or rather, what is our predominant fault? What do we most fall into? What is most appealing to us in our passions? It'd be very good for us to focus on this Lenten season, that we can make spiritual progress by knowing us particularly. Each one of us has a different predominant fault, predominant passion that we need to overcome. So study ourselves to know this, and that we can practice the opposite virtue. And so we are servants then, and we work for our benefit, for our spiritual progress, but first we must work for God's benefit. So look first for the glory of God in all things that we do. And when going to God, seeking a benefit or reward, let us not go empty-handed, And that's what we mean to do this Lenten season, is prepare gifts to bring to our Lord. For how can we seek to gain a reward? How can we seek to be given gifts without having merited? But if we do labor, let us see our reward in the denarius, or in the penny, which bears the image of the king. As we are created in his image and likeness, this is what we work for, to have that imprinted on our souls, to be imitators of Christ, doers of his word. Salvation is remaining in his presence. And so in likeness, closeness to him, we seek our souls. And we look at today in the marketplace, those people standing idle, not gaining for their salvation, not working for their souls, because they don't even know they should. People of the world, they don't even know they have a soul. They don't focus on it. As I've said before, people are distracted. The world is distracting us from the truth that we have to work for our salvation. And so they live only for the moment. They live for now. It's very interesting. The Davises had Father Philip Davis and his family had a woman staying with them for a time, and she used to be a witch, but she turned away from that. And she said, speaking about those, you know, because you can understand maybe atheists, you know, they don't want to discover the truth. They don't want to seek God. But devil worshipers, Satanists, but she said they know what they're doing. They're seeking to have their power now, their time now. They're seeking to have their rewards and glory in this life. What a very terrible thing. They don't understand eternity. And so for us who have the truth, who have the knowledge of this, what are we doing to gain rewards? What are we doing to gain closeness to Christ? How are we working in the garden of our souls? For we cannot say with those others standing idle, no one has called us to work. God has given you the truth. He's called you to work in his vineyard. So we have an obligation to make an effort. So now is for us to go to work. And two, our Lord warns us against envy. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. But what we have is just. Everyone has their particular passion, and so everyone has their particular crosses. We're all different. So in our sufferings, it's God's particular gift to us. When it comes time for payment, we should take what is ours and go. Go our way thankful. Thankful that God has even given us anything. Anything to enter the kingdom of heaven. As we know, it's not our strict merit to be close to God, to see him face to face, but it's a gift. And so we rejoice with those who rejoice, as we are not defrauded from someone else's pay, someone else's good success. It doesn't mean that we are less. We should rejoice with them that God has been so good to them and is so good to us. It's interesting, the envious grieve when someone is giving something as if it was taken from them. As if we were owed this. Showing envy stems from vainglory, from our own pride, our own self-love that we deserve. So our Lord would say to us, is it not lawful for me to do my will? When we think about it, it's quite foolish to complain against the will of God. Complaining about someone's good fortune. Maybe we could complain about something not given to us that is due to us, but not about something that's not due. We haven't earned it. So again, our Lord puts it, is your eye evil because I am good? We see the Jews wanted to keep the exalted position of God's chosen. So we see the Novus Ordo holding on to buildings. They won't sell us their churches, even though they're not using them. They're falling into disrepair. They won't sell them to Sede Vacantists. We have to be very sneaky, having a parishioner to purchase them in different ways. But why? They don't want people coming to the truth. And so you have these organizations, even within the Novus Ordo, these quasi-traditional groups, because people want something more traditional. They seek the truth naturally. But at the end of the day, they have to squeeze that man into the papacy. Maybe not everyone is in this same boat, but the vast majority of the Novus Ordo clergy want to subvert us. And why? Why in this day of quote-unquote ecumenism, when everyone's accepted, you can be anything under the sun except for traditional Catholic? Is thy eye evil because I am good? Do they despise our growth? No, but our very existence points to what they've given up, what they lack. God's vineyard. They've abandoned it. They don't work in it anymore. They don't work to save souls. They've left it wide open for the sowers of cockle, for the enemy to come in and choke out the virtue of upright living and the tools of cultivating virtue. They don't form consciences anymore. They don't help people to grow spiritually. Instead, they say, who am I to judge? And so now it's for us to go out into the vineyard. We begin in the vineyard of our own souls, making spiritual progress this Lenten season. Focus on yourself. Make good examinations of conscience. Focus on a knowledge of yourself. We need to hone in on that spiritual growth. What things are going to help me progress? So now that we have heard the call of Christ, let us go more readily into his vineyard through prayer and sacrifice. That's how we cultivate grace and virtue. Let us not let this season of Lent get away from us. Let us prepare. Let us use it well. We don't have the time or the excuse that no one has called us to work. No, we have the warning of Christ. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For many are called, but few are chosen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.